This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Age of Radio.
Hello there, folks, and thank you for listening to the show.
I'm Joanna.
I'm Nate, and we are Stranger Than. This is a very special episode because I am actually in the same room with Joanna for the first time in like a year.
Yeah, it's probably been about 10 months.
Yeah, so quite some time. She's here visiting the state of her home, I guess.
Yeah, hometown.
Getting one of the kids off to college and selling the other kids on the black market.
Yeah, hoping to get a good price for them.
I hope so. Otherwise, it's not worth the drive.
Yeah, well, I mean, this inflation's got to be good for something. Hopefully, the price of children has also gone up exponentially.
I certainly hope so.
Not just gas and groceries.
Right, because that just seems unfair.
Yeah, and I need to cover, like, the cost difference. I mean, I'm paying
the cash and groceries that you spend on those damn freeloaders.
Mm-hmm. Yep, hoping to fetch a good price for them. No, it's back. It's like one of our, it's our super special sleepover episode again.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was what we did last time, too, right before you left, because you were staying over at our house.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's a great place to stay.
Indeed.
Thank you for the hospitality and also for all the help with the car issues.
Yeah, it was quite a fiasco. Fortunately, not until you got into town.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, soon after I left town, you know, like, I don't know, maybe 5 hours or so. It takes a long time to drive across the state of Kansas, but shortly after crossing the border, during a huge rainstorm, the top of my hard shell car top thing blew off in a storm. And luckily, I did not lose all the contents that were inside the case. They just stayed right where they were, and another motorist alerted me to the fact that I no longer had a roof on my rooftop carrier.
And hopefully, when it flew off, there was no one right behind you.
Oh my gosh. I am, like, still, I really need to write, like, an angry email to that company and be like, dude, you could have caused, like, a major fucking accident.
Yeah, no shit. You should. You should be like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Your top came off of my car.
Yes. And I could have lost a lot more than just the top of the damn thing in one empty bag. Fortunately, everything else, the suitcases and such, were there. But that
heavy
was a fiasco.
That it stayed, yeah.
Yeah, that was a fiasco. And I thought, oh, this is my bad luck for the trip. This is my one incident, like, where, you know, oh, hey.
Like, oh, that's shitty. Hopefully that's the only shitty thing.
Yeah, but no, I was not even
3 days
done
later.
Yet. 3 days later and another, you know, 1,200, 1,300 miles later, my car, the alternator, just took a giant shit. And fortunately, I broke down very close to Nate's house.
Like 8 miles from my house.
Yes, so it was close enough. I mean, it sucked, but it could have sucked so much worse in some other spot. The car dealership, when I went and picked up my car today, at the repair place, the guy was, like, amazed that it made it as far as it did.
Wow.
Because I told him, like, everything started going wonky, like, 10 miles before we got to Snoqualmie Pass.
And he was like, you are a lucky motherfucker.
Yeah, because it made it, like, another, like, 70 miles almost before totally dying. He's like, those Toyotas, they'll just, you know.
They're like an Energizer battery.
Yeah, they're great cars.
Or an Energizer
buddy. Shocked. He was shocked that it made it all the way down the pass, all the way the rest of I-90, up to through Bellevue, Redmond, and then finally
Where it ended up taking a shit. But you're here, and
I'm
your
here.
Car is fixed.
It's fixed.
And we're recording.
We are. We're
and
bringing
so...
another great episode your way, and hope that you enjoy it.
This time, I will be pretty much just reading a couple articles because they write better than me. One is another is an archaeology article, and the other one is a so-called occult killing that happened in the UK.
Oh, wow. And I have a fun little weird camping story that I found on the internet. I wanted to do something like horror themed. Like, I've been watching that show, The Fear Street, 1994, yeah. And they have a whole like summer camp massacre. And I mean, there's tons of horror movies involving summer camp. And I'm like, let's go find some true crime. And let me tell you, I did find some, but oh my gosh, it was like depressing as fuck. And I just was like, I can't talk about this. And I can't be that much of an asshole that I, like, crack jokes about it, because it's, there are some really fucked up stories out there. Just feel free to Google it for yourself if you'd like to read about some of them. But I'm like, this isn't cool, kids getting killed at summer camp.
So you chose a slightly less horrific one.
I did choose a slightly less horrific one. And now that I'm out of my house temporarily, I thought I might tell you guys about some of the weird experiences I have had in my home in Kansas. Because I don't really like talking about it when I'm, like, actually in the house. Because weird stuff happens when you discuss it there.
Yeah, that's true. Or weird stuff can happen when you discuss it.
Yes.
Well, let's start out with the archaeology story. So this is a story called Bronze Age Infinity Pool, Hosted Supernatural Water Rituals, Archaeologists Say. It is by Tom Metcalf and is on livescience.com. A mysterious wooden structure built in Italy more than 3,000 years ago may have been a Bronze Age, quote-unquote, infinity pool that reflected the sky during religious rituals to give onlookers the impression they were looking into another realm, according to new research. One of the authors of the new study has even likened the pool to England's famous Stonehenge monument, which also symbolically may have led people into another world. The pool-like structure was built sometime between 1436 BCE and 1428 BCE, so some time ago. A time of great cultural change in the region, which reinforces the idea that was established for new ritual purposes, says Sturt Manning, an archaeologist at Cornell University in New York, and one of the authors of the new paper describing the research. Quote, as you would have come up to this thing, as soon as you'd been able to start to see the surface, you would have seen effectively the edge of the land around the sky, unquote, Manning told Live Science. Quote, and as you get close to it, then you would have to just have been looking at the reflected sky. So you'd have, in a sense, entered another world, unquote. Today's infinity pools are similar in their reflective beauty. So basically, it's just a pool of water that when you come up on, it's just clear, and you can see the night sky perfectly reflected as if it's an actual mirror. Italian archaeologists discovered the structure in 2004 near the town of Noceto, just west of Parma in Italy's northern Po Valley region. They call it Vasca Votiva, Italian for votive or sacred tank. The archaeologists noted that the pit was roughly 40 feet, 12 meters, long, 23 feet, 7 meters, wide, and more than 10 feet, 3 meters, deep. It had been excavated on a small hilltop and then lined with wooden poles, planks, and beams. Most of them were oak, but some were elm or walnut. Layers of sediment showed that the structure had once contained water, although no channels to distribute water led away from it, and it seemed much too elaborate to have just been a reservoir for irrigation, Manning said. Previous research of ceremonial pots and wooden figurines found inside had revealed that the structure was built in the Bronze Age, probably between 1600 BCE and 1300 BCE, but its exact age couldn't be verified, and its purpose has been a mystery. The new study resolves some of that uncertainty. So the ancient timbers. Manning is a specialist of dendrochronology, the science of dating ancient wood. Sounds fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
And he and his team joined the project with the hope that determining the age of the timbers used to line the Vasca Votiva could accurately reveal when it was built. It's a difficult task. Wood rots quickly when it's exposed to oxygen, and the record of dates for the growth of trees in ancient times often depends on rare finds of logs and layers of sediment between ancient rivers and bogs, Manning said. The team studied the growth rings from the timbers and measured each ring's levels of radioactive carbon-14, which is a naturally occurring fraction of the carbon that the trees absorbed while they were alive. The trees stopped absorbing carbon when they were cut down, and so the levels of carbon-14 that remain can be used to date when that happens. Then the team calculated when the timbers were harvested using wiggle matching, in which they compare the patterns of carbon-14 absorption, the wiggles, with the distinctive patterns from trees that grew elsewhere in Northern Europe at different times. So pretty much they're just taking all of the knowledge they have of trees from way back in the day and using all of that to try and figure out when the hell these trees were cut down.
Wow, that sounds fascinating.
True dat. The dominant society in the region at this time, the Bronze Age Terramere culture, was transitioning from a simpler period of individual small farms to a period of greater social complexity, with the development of larger settlements that became cultural centers and increased use of plowing and irrigation for farmland, the researchers wrote. The Reflecting Waters. The new dates reinforced the idea that the mysterious structure at Noketo was built for a new ritual and religious purposes established in the area, Manning said. No sign that the tank had ever been used as a simple reservoir for irrigation, and it was much too elaborately built. Also, the ceremonial pots and figurines found inside show it was used for ritual offerings, he said. As well, a great deal of labor would have been needed to complete the elaborate Vasca Votiva, and the excavations have shown that it was the second such structure at the same hilltop site. The first was even larger, and started about 10 years before the later structure, but discarded tools and wood shavings suggest that it had collapsed as it was being built, so the latest tank was built over it, he said. So pretty much they fucked up the first one and just tried again. Successfully, apparently. A few similar ceremonial waters have been found elsewhere in the ancient world, such as the lustral basins found at the Minoan sites on Crete that date back to at least the 15th century BCE, although those were smaller and typically made of clay and stone. But nothing like this infinity pool has been found in Northern Europe. To our knowledge, it's unique in the area, Manning said. He likened the Vasca Votiva to the Neolithic Stonehenge monument in southern England, although Stonehenge is on a much larger scale. Quote, you have these avenues leading to a particular ceremonial place, you're sort of leaving one world and you're part of and creating an impression that you've moved and joined another one, unquote, he said. Quote, it was like an infinity pool in a sense because it was at the top of a hill. If you were standing near it, looking into it, you would have seen through the water and seen some of the pots and other objects that have been carefully deposited into it, unquote, Manning said. Quote, but you would also be very much looking at the sky and the clouds above you. It's hard not to think that this might have to do with rainfall and things like that. Unquote. The introduction of whatever supernatural water rituals took place at Vasca Votiva in ancient times seemed to have been an attempt to gain favor with the deities responsible for water and rainfall, elements that would have been vital to early farming communities, he said. Quote, if it was just for irrigation or something, then fine. But it doesn't seem to work for that, unquote, Manning said. Quote, it's more about some group activity that they think is going to be beneficial or that the gods are going to be pleased that they have done this, unquote. So that's a pretty wild thing. I'd like to see something like that. Can you imagine it's nighttime and you're walking up with like torches with all your old time, like your old school occult? Or,
ceremonial.
Yeah, your ceremonial homies, and you're just walking up, and you're going up on this hill, and so you're leaving all the foliage and shit behind, and you just get to this mirrored water, basically, and as you get closer to it, you see more and more of the night sky, or the day sky, just the sky. You see all the shit that's in the sky, and then once you're right on it, that's all you can see. You're just looking down into this pool, and all you can see is just the sky, except for small pots and all these ceremonial figurines that have been placed down at the very bottom of this thing. And you're just like catching glimpses of those while you're looking at the sky. I can see how they'd be a really powerful thing, especially for ancient humans. But even now, I think it would be a beautiful sight, at least.
Definitely a beautiful sight. I'd immediately want a skinny dip in it because that's just how I am. But
you would just ruin the ceremony with your sin.
Yeah, I would. I would disrobe right there and dive right into that pool. Be like, come on.
Splash! Unfortunately, now there's no water in it. So if you tried to go skinny dipping in it, you would just be...
I would just be like
bloody
jumping,
and broken,
yeah,
naked on the bottom of a pit.
Jumping into a big pit naked. That sounds unfortunate. That doesn't seem like that would be a good time.
But it implies or infers, I'm not sure which one, that they have some of these pools these days. And I'm sure they're not really used for supernatural water rituals or anything, but they're probably just places for people to go and look at.
Water can be very soothing, even if you don't get to swim naked in it.
That's true. I enjoy kayaking quite a bit. I like floating on water. I think it's cool. I live in a good place for it because we got lakes aplenty.
I like fountains and stuff like that, too. Like the sounds of like running water and...
Yes.
The little noises that fountains make.
Yeah, yeah. We have a cat fountain for that the cats drink out of.
I noticed it. I heard the little like water sounds.
Gurgling.
Yeah, the gurgling sounds. And I was like, oh, look, it's a little kitty fountain.
It works pretty well. You know, it's quiet until Persephone gets to it because she doesn't drink like a regular cat. She sticks her little paw in there and then scoops water into her mouth or just like slurps it off her hand fur. So it's messy.
Yes.
It's great. We used to have a water dish for her in our room for when she slept in our room. But she also likes to stand on my chest at certain times of the night and get pets. So it was very unpleasant to have her cold, wet paws splashing around on my chest at night.
And I'm always like a little sus when my cat jumps on me and has wet paws. It's like, what have you been doing?
Well, in her case, she's been playing in the fucking water.
Playing in the water. But it's like, did you just pee and like, is it wet from like peed on cat litter that you just
swished around? Oh, no, I doubt
around?
That. Because as they walk out of the cat litter, it gets the litter on their paws and
yeah,
that comes off. So it wouldn't be wet. You just have sand on you.
Right. Well, I don't know what it is when my cats, because we don't have a, like a water fountain thing. So
I don't know why. Maybe
they
get in the sink.
Like get on and there's some wet paws. And
maybe they get in the sink.
Maybe. I mean, my one.
In the toilet.
My cat Mello. Well, Mello doesn't drink out of the toilet, but Lila will. She's the one. She'll drink out of the toilet or out of a cup. You have to fill up her special water cup. She will not drink water out of a fucking bowl.
What a goof.
Yeah. She just, it was from all the time spent living at my parents' house, and my dad always left like all these half-drunk glasses of water everywhere. And so after we like domesticated her, because she came to us from the woods.
Yeah.
She just started drinking out of all my dad's like water glasses, and she like won't not now. She has to have her little like
That's
special
ridiculous.
Glass full of water. She won't drink out of a bowl, but she will drink out of the toilet if her glass, the water level gets too low in the glass, she'll go and drink out of the toilet. But there's a water bowl like literally right next to the glass, and she won't touch it.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Maybe she just hates Mello and she's like, no, I'm not going to share that shit with that motherfucker.
Maybe, but she's just always been that way. We always had to have her glass of water. Like, I don't understand. And if the sink, like, if you forget to turn the sink off all the way and it's dripping, she'll still suck it out of the sink.
That's pretty
the
cute,
faucet.
Though.
Yeah. But yeah, she will not drink water out of a bowl. It's just like, nah.
It's just not for her. She thinks she's a people.
Yep, that's for peasants.
Yeah. Well, why don't you give us one of your stories, Joanna?
All right. So this came off of www.factinate.com. It was a whole list of creepy experiences that people had while camping or in the woods. And this particular story was submitted by WDH662. I'm just going to read it verbatim. So the creepiest experience was camping with my best friend. We were in a semi-remote camping area. Drivable usually to get to it, but definitely only with a 4x4. It was a semi-maintained camping area. There were a couple of fire pits, a few rotten picnic tables, and a run-down outhouse. Parks checked this place once a year or so.
Oh.
So we get there and start setting up when my buddy wanders over to the outhouse and opens the door. He stands there for a second or two, closes the door, and goes to the second one. He goes in and comes out a few minutes later. He comes back to me and says, "Go check out that first one." I assume someone defecated on the floor or an animal got stuck in there and died or something. It was even weirder. 3 full backpacks, and I am talking big bags, like the bag that I have, which is the size I use for week-long trips. So we are nosy, and we open them up. 2 are full of good quality gear, nothing unusual. But the third is full of Skittles. Bulk bags, small bags, regular bags, tropical, sour, every flavor and size of bag you can imagine. Just full of freaking Skittles. We camped for 4 days, never saw a soul. Bags still there when we left. Who left all that gear? Why did one person pack 80 liters of Skittles? Don't know, but it was weird.
That is quite strange.
That is so weird.
Maybe Bigfoot likes Skittles?
I mean, like, why would you pack a whole giant bag full of Skittles and then just leave it in an outhouse and then 2 full bags of gear as well?
Yeah, that's pretty weird. I mean, I can imagine being like, all right, let's ditch the fucking Skittles, but
right,
the bag's full of, like, decent gear.
I mean, camping gear is expensive.
Oh, yeah, it's a recreational thing, so they're not going to give you a deal on it.
No.
That's, you know, I have not gone to that many super remote places. I did go to this place called Brown Creek once.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty remote. I had to go about 15 miles down this dirt road, and I was in a Prius at the time.
Yeah.
So that was a little scary because I was like, if this Prius gets stuck,
yeah,
we're fucked. But we managed, and we managed it just fine. And it was a little creepy. Like, the yeah. one thing that made me less on edge was that there were people there with children.
Right.
And normally I'm like, children. But people with, like, small kids, it's usually kind of safe. You know, they're usually
right.
not psychopaths or something. But mm-hmm. it was deep. We had no cell phone. It was in the rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, it was rainy at first, and it was something else. It was a little, being out that deep, there's, I mean, no lights.
Oh, no.
No traffic sounds. I mean, a lot of the state parks you go to, the last one we went to is, like, almost literally directly off of I-90. So we could mm-hmm. hear the traffic all the time. But here, you heard nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, we're going to run into a bear or a cougar or fucking Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone with some of my friends, we've gone pretty deep and far out there, but then it's always fine, because, yeah, there's always a group of us.
Yeah.
And I used to tell my coworkers before a trip, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go camping way out here, and they're always like, oh, watch out for bears. I'm like, trust me, there's so many people making noise.
Oh, yeah.
And they all, I mean, I don't personally have a dog, but, like, all my camping friends have dogs, and they all bring their dogs,
too.
And they have dogs, they have guns. But just the dogs themselves are enough to, like, it's like, dude, nothing is going to come and fuck with this campsite.
Yeah,
like,
usually.
Yeah.
I mean, not a cougar would. Cougar will take a dog, but, you know, you should definitely, if you go out into the woods alone and deep like that, have a firearm with you.
Mm-hmm.
If not to take care of any of the animals, like, if you run into the errant human out there, that's not always the best.
Right.
Humans are more scary than any animal.
Right. Yeah, there are several stories of run-ins with, like, weirdos out in the woods, but this one just kind of caught my attention, because, I mean, what the fuck? What the fuck is up with the bag of Skittles? What
yeah.
the fuck? I mean, you leave
Taste
3...
Taste the Rainbow Joint.
Yeah, that's what the story was called, was Taste the Rainbow. They entered into the story.
That's funny.
Taste the Rainbow. But yeah, I mean, who the fuck ditches 2, like, all that camping gear and the giant backpack full of Skittles? Why the giant backpack full of Skittles in the first place? What
yeah,
was the, what purpose was that serving?
That's pretty strange.
And then why would anybody leave all of them in a nasty rundown outhouse?
Yeah, seriously.
Which I'm assuming was just, like, a couple of the ones we went to. It's like, yeah, they're not maintained at all. It's just like a vault toilet.
Oh, right. Do you mean just like a hole in the ground, basically?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a hole in the ground.
Yeah, that's basically how Brown Creek was. There was, mm-hmm. I mean, there was a metal toilet over the top of it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's what they call a vault toilet, where it's just like a metal seat, and then underneath is just a giant fucking hole.
A hole with a lot of shit in it.
A whole lot of shit in it.
A whole lot of shit!
Nasty.
Well, let's get into my next story here.
All right.
This one was by Matt Drake. I found it on independent.co.uk. It is entitled Occult Killings: Man Arrested Over Satanic Sheep Deaths in New Forest. A Winchester man has been arrested in connection to several occult sheep killings in Hampshire. This is in the UK, so it's not New Hampshire. It's the original Hampshire. Police have been investigating after a number of farm animals were killed since November. Some were found with satanic symbols painted on them. In this particular case, they have like an upside-down cross, which, by the way, is the cross of St. Peter, and there's nothing satanic about it. And then there is a pentagram on it as well. Or actually, in this case, it's just a fucking star. So, you know.
I feel like maybe they're jumping to conclusions a little bit on that.
Yeah, well, you know, people associate Satanists with upside-down crosses and stars.
Yes.
The 41-year-old had been arrested on suspicion of 6 counts of criminal damage. A Hampshire police spokesman said, quote, "Officers investigating a number of sheep deaths in the New Forest have today arrested a man. A 41-year-old man from Winchester has been arrested on suspicion of 6 counts of criminal damage. They relate to the deaths of sheep in Wittensford Lane and Coolake Lane, Cadnam and Penrode, Bramshaw. He remains in custody at this time," unquote. It comes after reports of 3 more sheep deaths in the New Forest just days ago. This article was released on Saturday, January 25th of 2020. So this time, at this point, it's been some time ago. The dead animals were found between the 16th and 20th of January. 2 of the sheep had suffered puncture wounds. The deaths followed the discovery of an ewe female sheep in Coolake Lane, Cadnam, on January 2nd, which had been stabbed to death, and a cross made of hay along with a broken pitchfork were placed next to it. Wendy Moggin, owner of Coolake Farm, told the Southern Daily Echo, quote, "I'm extremely saddened that we seem to live in a society where someone gets pleasure by attacking and stabbing to death innocent, non-aggressive animals," unquote. A sheep and 2 cows were also attacked, as well as satanic symbols painted on the door of St. Peter's Church in Bramshaw in November. Reverend David Bacon, the vicar at St. Peter's, said, quote, "People are concerned. I've been here 15 years and seen a lot of stuff, but nothing like this. It could just be kids, but I don't think it is, given the context." A Hampshire police spokesman added, quote, "Targeted patrols of the area and the New Forest will continue," unquote. Don't stab sheep.
That's
don't
not cool.
Don't kill farm animals. For one, they ain't doing nobody wrong. They're fucking farm animals. And additionally, they're probably someone probably uses them for something. They're probably care about them. Sheep don't generally they're normally just used for their wool. They're not, I mean, sometimes people change them into food, but not usually. Yeah.
But so regardless, I mean, can you not go around stabbing sheep? They're just doing their, like, sheep business.
Just sheeping around? It's just rude. It's just rude.
I just don't really like people that, like, kill animals in general.
Depending upon the purpose, I can see how that wouldn't be so big of a deal. Killing animals because you have to eat?
Yes. Well, that's different.
Fine. Killing
hunting
animals because
for like the good
pain.
Of their herd and stuff, because you know they, if you don't, you know, thin out the herd a little bit, it's gonna, they're all gonna suffer.
Yeah,
but I mean, it doesn't seem to me like there was anything useful about the killing of these sheep.
No, and especially with their like jank ass satanic symbols that they put on them, mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah,
I get to see him like, oh look, here's a broken pitchfork, let's put it by there.
Make a cross out of hay.
Yeah. Make it upside down, man.
Fucking jerk-offs.
What dicks. I feel like these weren't Satanists.
Probably not. The thing, which we've discussed before about Satanists, is that they don't do, like, culty Satanist shit.
Yeah, like, so I don't think it was Satanist, and I don't think it was, like, culty people either. I feel like these were just fucking assholes. Yeah,
most of the cults out there are Christian cults.
Yes.
Funny how that works out.
Right?
Those wacky Abrahamic religions and their tomfoolery.
I mean, it doesn't make them any less scary, but...
No, like, not at all. It makes them more scary because they...
sometimes.
Christians can be a scary bunch.
Yes.
Well, why don't you tell us about your house, Joanna?
Okay, so some things have happened at the house over the course of my almost year living there.
Now, how old is this house?
This house was built in 1928.
1928, so it's 91 years old? No, 93 years old?
It's 93 years old.
93 years old. That is an old-ass house.
It is a very old-ass house. So lots of history at that house, and I wouldn't know a whole lot about it except for, like, the previous people who lived there were kind of degenerates who, like, left a bunch of their crap behind.
Everything broke, and they took all the stuff that
everything
worked.
Broke. They took all the stuff that worked and then left everything that was broken behind, and, yeah, a bunch of garbage and just random shit, too. Just fucking, they were just pieces of shit, let me tell you. So, about the time that I'm staying here, so after we drove down there and met the moving truck and unloaded, and then I flew back here with the girls to drive my car down, and I left Jarek behind at the house. First instance was when he was, like, alone at the house. I'm up here chilling, getting stuff, loose ends wrapped up, and he is down there by himself. He told me he came out at, like, 4 in the morning because I think he had forgotten that it was, like, garbage day, and he suddenly remembered he was up playing video games.
Yeah.
He went out at, like, 4 in the morning to take the garbage out to the alleyway because we have an alley behind our house. So there's, like, street side, and then out back is the alley side.
And now, by alley, you mean sort of King of the Hill alley.
Yeah.
Not, like living in the city alley.
No, but it's, like, an actual, like, alleyway that runs several blocks down. It's fun to take on walks. Sometimes I go, like, the alley side because it's really interesting. You get a whole different perspective of the other people's houses on the back side of it. And, like, most, a lot of the neighborhoods have alleyways, but they don't, you know, run the same as the streets. Like, some of them will end. Some places don't have a back alley, but we do. We have one. And he was taking the garbage to it, and it was, like, 4 in the morning. And suddenly, like, as he's getting the cans on the other side of the fence into the alley, he smells perfume, like, out of nowhere, but there's nobody around, but he smells this really heavy scent of woman's perfume. And then the neighbor's dogs that live across the alley from us suddenly started going crazy right at the same time he smelled this woman's perfume, but again, saw no one. He also experienced, on a few occasions, cold spots in the house. Now, this is the house that has no functional air conditioning.
Single-pane windows.
Single-pane windows, and Kansas gets hot as fuck in the summertime, so...
And this was the summertime.
So it was the summertime,
there's no cold
yes.
spots in a house with no AC, with single-pane windows in the summertime anywhere, really.
Yeah. But he told me when I got back there that he felt cold spots in the house randomly. Now, another thing that happens is, remember how my house in Woodinville was a little bit haunted with the whole, like, light twitching thing?
Yeah.
Like, the strobe light in the bathroom thing?
Yeah, yeah.
That happens in the bathroom of this house, too.
Oh,
except
lovely.
Not quite as bad. It's just one light. And the lights in my bedroom have flickered on and off, too, for random reasons. Now, I was in the bathroom and telling Scarlett about it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's haunted, just like our last one. And she's like, it's not haunted here. And the second she said it, one of the three lights in the bathroom started flickering, like, immediately, like, in response to her saying it wasn't haunted.
Like, you don't know shit, you punk-ass kid.
Yeah. Also, there's the random things with the electronics, how things have just, like, died randomly.
Yeah, that's weird with the laptop.
The laptop, the television...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, and you know that thing that Scarlett's phone is doing where it just types on its own and seems like it's possessed? That wasn't the first phone that happened to. It happened to her last phone in the house.
Yeah, that's wild, because her last phone was an Android, too, wasn't it?
No, her last phone, she had an Android, but then she had an iPhone. It was the iPhone before she had the Android in between the two iPhones.
Oh, I see.
But it was, yeah, it was like just randomly like typing and going crazy. And it seemed like it did it more in the living room than it did in the other part of the house, even though it would do it at all times. It really would go nuts in the living room. And same with the newer iPhone going
You know, I
crazy.
know that there's a way that you can find out history about houses. I'm not exactly sure how, but I know that you can get information on the past people that have been in houses somehow. You should
I was
look into
feeling like it
that.
would be a great website to like build, would be like just find the lowdown on all like the house. So you just type your address in, and if anything like crazy and weird has happened there, it's going to be like in this database.
Maybe there is one that we just don't know about.
Probably. I haven't investigated it too hard. Now, here's like this was just kind of some of the general stuff. Now, here's the weirdest experience I have had in the house. It was in the bathroom. A lot of stuff seems to be centered around the bathroom, the flickering lights, and then there have been two different instances where I've been in the bathroom and have heard things. So the first time we'd been there maybe like a week, and I'm finally getting in and soaking in a hot bath because, we've been moving shit all over the place. I'm just sitting in alone in the bathtub trying to relax. Now I'm sitting up, and all of a sudden the curtain starts moving. Like it starts rippling, but like really like purposefully rippling. Like it's just moving on its own, and I hear this breathing sound, like heavy breathing.
Well, that's not disconcerting at all.
It was so loud. I mean, it was just like
Like John Goodman.
yeah, like someone is John Goodmaning like right into my fucking ear. And meanwhile, like I had the curtain, I had the curtains drawn all the way around the bathtub because we only have the one bathroom. So
Yeah.
we have kind of an open door policy. So it's like, if you're going to have a bath or a shower, you have the curtain completely shut. So whatever, somebody really needs to, if they can't wait, they have to come in and they can do their business.
Yeah, hopefully not taking a shit
Yeah,
in.
hopefully not. Hopefully it's just a
Number
quick
two's
pee.
wait. Number one's okay.
Yes. But yeah, the curtains are rippling. I'm just sitting in this tub and the curtains are rippling, and I'm hearing this really heavy breathing. And I thought that one of my kids had snuck in there and was like playing a joke on me. Like they were outside, they were on the other side of the curtain
Right, just
pranking
being a
me.
dick.
Yeah. And so I reach for the curtain and I push it back like real fast, like, push, like, 'cause I was gonna be like, what are you
Gonna
doing?
catch him.
Yeah, I was gonna catch him. Be like, what are you doing? So I totally expected to see one of my kids like crouch down on the other side of the bathtub, like, ha. No one was
Not a
there.
fucking soul.
Not a
Well,
fucking
maybe a
soul.
soul.
Maybe. But it was really weird. I mean, I kind of like, wait, what? Like, as soon as I drew the curtain back, like, aha, gotcha. And it's like, no
Yeah.
one is fucking there. And it was like, whoa, wait a second. What the fuck is going on?
That's super weird.
It was super weird. I even got up and got out of the tub and kind of, like looked in the kitchen and my daughter Olivia's room also. So the ki it's off the kitchen, the bathroom, because I guess in 1928 they were just like, hey, why don't we do it that way?
Yeah, why not?
And then her bedroom also connects to the bathroom. And so I open like both doors and look out, and no one is anywhere.
But no sleep paralysis or anything like that yet?
I have not had any sleep paralysis or anything like that. Now, fast forward like a couple weeks, I'm in having a bath again. This time I hear crying, like kind of a crying, moaning sound. I thought it was Olivia's room. I thought maybe she had some sort of like online altercation with one of her friends or something
Right.
like that, and she was like on her bed crying. And so I get up out of the tub and I open up the door to her room and I look in, and she is like sound asleep. Not moving at all.
Not crying.
Not crying. So again, it's like, what is going on here? Like, I have one of my favorite things to do to relax is to take long hot baths. And I have to tell you, I have probably taken less baths since I moved to this house than ever before in my life, because after those first two experiences, I'm just kind of like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, I would take fewer baths as well if I took baths to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, there was the whole weird breathing thing. Like, it literally sounded like someone was right behind me breathing, to the point where I thought it was just somebody on the other side of the curtain. And then the weird, like, crying and moaning. Like, I thought she was, like, either got in a fight with someone or she was, like, sick, like, doubled over with, like, stomach pains or something. And then I opened up her door and it's dark and she's, like, fast asleep.
Yeah, and that kid sleeps, too. I mean, that kid sleeps dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's my weird story of stuff happening in my house. I don't think I've had lots of places where lights flickered and kind of random stuff happened. The perfume and the whole, like, things that Jarek experienced. But, yeah, the breathing and the crying is something that kind of bothers me still. Like, I don't know what that's about.
As far as their perfume is concerned, like, the dogs barking, I can see them barking because Jarek just walked up.
Yeah.
And they're like, fucking, there's a person. I'm going to bark at that person. Where the perfume came from, I don't know if there's other garbage cans there. And maybe it just, like, someone threw some away or something. But that's some wild shit. And, like, the lights flickering, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. There's things.
I mean, it's an old house, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's, the crying and the breathing and the rippling and stuff, that's pretty wacky. Well, keep us updated about that whole deal.
I will.
Maybe definitely just, like, send me an email or a text message or something so you're not actually talking about it there. Or...
Yeah, because I thought that was kind of weird because I was telling Scarlett about what had happened in the bath with the, like, the heavy breathing and then the crying.
Yeah.
And so I was talking, you know, and then I'm like, and the lights flicker, like, at the old house. And that's when she was like, this house isn't haunted, and immediately just started flickering.
If that was a coincidence, that's a really fucking weird coincidence.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, whoa. Like, I was like, don't say that here. Yeah. Like, you're going to anger it. Yeah.
Well, I grew sage this summer, and so I'll send you home with a thing of dried sage. And, you know, if you need to, open your windows and smudge your house, because apparently that's supposed to help.
Yeah, I actually have I bought a two set, and I did one smudging, like, but that was outdoors when we were doing our, solstice.
Yeah, yeah.
Ceremony. We did some sage smudging, but yeah, I have some at home. I just need to start going around there. I always feel like I need to, like, have it all clean first, and then that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, it doesn't.
But I suppose you can
just
sage your house anytime.
Yeah, yeah. Just open the windows, so if there's anything in there, it can get out.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just the kind of the goings on that have been happening in my house. It's a little weird and creepy.
Yeah, like, it's real weird and creepy.
I don't know why it has to be the fucking bathroom that's haunted, but you know, there
stupid
you go.
Haunted bathroom. Well, I think that's pretty much all we got for you today. It's another short one, but again, it's the summertime, and as we told you before, Joanna's had a hectic time down here, and
oh man,
so it's been sort of a madhouse around here. But we hope that you enjoyed the episode. As usual, you can find us at any of the social media sites we're at. Just look for Stranger Than or Stranger Than Podcast. You can join our Patreon at a $1, $2, and $5 levels. At the $1 level, we'll give you a crisp high five if we ever see you. At the $2 level, you will get ad-free episodes. And at the $5 level, you will get a bonus true crime episode. You can check out the podcast syndicate we are a part of, Age of Radio. They're at ageofradio.org. You can find our page at ageofradio.org/strangerthan. You can find tons of podcasts there of all different varieties. And then if you want to listen to us off a web based podcast, you know, you can, or a web-based thing that you can listen to our podcast there as well. And I think with that, we will talk to you next time.
And stay strange.